The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Thanks for choosing the weekly podcast from Radio Today. Hello, I'm Stuart Clarkson. Our founder and editor, Roy Martin, is here as well. Hello, Roy.
Hi, Stu. Here we are, another week of radio stuff.
And joining us on the podcast as well this week, Martin Campbell, former chief advisor of radio at Ofcom. Welcome to the Radio Today programme. It's good to have you back, Martin.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
And it's what, a couple of years actually since I think you were last on this podcast talking to Trevor. Just as that consultation from the DCMS was starting. Now, we've not had any legislation as a result of that, but some big changes from Ofcom to move us towards what they were hoping to introduce. And it's a lot has changed actually in those 2 years, even though we haven't got the legislation.
It has, yeah, that's right. Yes, 2 years since I was last on. It must have been good last time to be asked back so quickly. I do find it quite interesting that we're now at the stage. I mean, I do feel, this is probably why you've got me on, a bit like an old dinosaur, because I started off in local newspapers and they've all but disappeared, and then moved on to local commercial radio, and now that has effectively all but disappeared. It's disappeared, I think, because it is unsustainable. But it's been allowed to become unsustainable. I think that's the shame of it. It's more of a sort of death of a thousand cuts rather than a plan to get where we are today with it. And that I do think is a shame. But I think we've got there. You mentioned legislation, and I think the fact that the government has been so busy, it needed legislation to change commercial radio in one fell swoop, and that could have been done, but they couldn't get the legislation through. So there's been this ridiculous game of pretend over the last few years that localness is being done and it's being catered for, and we really know it isn't. And I think what Ofcom probably forgot were the two big rules that I think actually dictate regulation. One is you don't get it if you don't regulate for it, and that's certainly true with localness. And once it's gone, it never comes back, and that's true with localness. And that's sort of where we are today. So it's inevitable, but I think it's unsustainable in its old glory times. I see one or two blogs and web comments of people harking back to, you know, the days of BRMB and Trent and so on. But, you know, what are you laughing at? They have gone. They have gone. The audiences are different. And I think it's now interesting that the industry have effectively got what it wanted. And now it's here. I worry that it's a bit like dog chasing van, that it won't know what to do, because I don't know what the battleground is now for breakfast shows. Do you?
No, we'll come on to that and what the groups might do with the changes in rules. But just to kind of take it back, how have we got here? Is it the groups lobbying for these changes, and should Ofcom have been a bit firmer and said, no, we're not going to do that?
Yes, absolutely. I think Ofcom, when it came into being, it wanted to be a shiny Blairite type of regulator with great open views and so on. And there was a great deal of misunderstanding about why radio was regulated, I think, in Ofcom, which is one of the differences that we had. And people say, you know, well, why is it being regulated? You know, people are doing things on the internet. Why don't you let them do what they want to do? And that prevailed, but it prevailed bit by bit to the point where I think a lot of people have sort of fallen away from commercial radio because they're not quite sure what it is anymore. Well, we now know what it is. You know, it's now, two or three great big networks.
And in terms of the groups getting their own way with Ofcom, we've already seen that because they brought out a consultation on changes to local approved areas, and then Global went, well, we don't like those, so for our stations, can we change our approved areas? And it seems they're going to say yes to that.
Yes, I think they will. I think Ofcom's view is let the industry get on with it, but they have been hamstrung by the legislation because the legislation doesn't say radio stations can get on with it. So it's been a bit of a mishmash, but the industry has always said things like, if we're not local, we're not anything, and then proceeded to dump as much localness as they possibly can. And now they are at the situation where, well, if they're not local, what are they? And so I think they've got a big challenge on their hands, I must say, because I'm particularly as far as music is concerned, because if you look at something like LBC, I think it's interesting that the BBC and particularly Radio 4's obsession with gender issues and soft news and arts news and so on has left a massive gap that LBC have very cleverly walked into and started to fill, and I think that's shaken up the BBC. There doesn't appear to be that sort of gap to go for in music.
Just looking at your article, Martin, from a couple of years ago, Radio Today opinion piece, you say, once all this happens, commercial radio, like you've just said, will probably desert the over 50s and the BBC will be expected to pick up the pieces. Now, this was a couple of years ago and it seems to be a hot topic at the moment. So
yeah.
What do you think of the BBC locals taking over that gap?
Well, yes, I mean, I think it's inevitable. I mean, I have had a look round at some of the commercial radio websites and there is a little bit of news in there. But to be honest, if you need a reason to listen to a station, and the more that the independents go down this route, and as I say, that they've now sort of reached the end point, and I'm not sure they know what to do now they're there, but the BBC stations, I think, probably will come into their own, and they will give local news. I mean, you don't turn on your local commercial radio to get local news, and you need it from somewhere. And I don't believe that everyone will just say, oh, well, I get my news from Twitter and so on. There will be a lot of people who want some sort of, and I use the word advisedly, regulated news, some sort of proper news, and that is being left to the BBC. And so, you know, I think there will now be a battle, just as there was a look at whether Radio 5 is doing too much sport and not enough news. You know, I think now the independents will want Ofcom to take a look at the BBC and say, well, you know, they should go over and fill these gaps that aren't so commercially enticing and let us get to the money.
And on the local news on commercial radio, Ofcom would surely say, well, we've agreed to let them share programmes and share DJs across big areas in return for continuing to supply local news. But I'm presuming the regulation of that is going to be pretty much non-existent, and it'll be up to competitors to say, well, that station there isn't doing what it's supposed to do in terms of local news. And if there aren't as many competitors in the local market because of the consolidation, there's not going to be anybody to report them.
That's a very astute observation. Yes, absolutely right. I mean, the complaints about the lack of news inevitably over the years have always come from competitors rather than listeners. Listeners will vote with their ears. Yeah, you're right. The complaints have always come from competitors. And if you're only going to have, say, three people left in the marketplace, and certainly as far as local is concerned, maybe two, they're not. I doubt they'll complain about each other, because it will open up cans of worms for both of them. So yes, I think they'll be allowed to go down their own way. I thought, as someone who drafted the original localness guidelines years ago, I thought it was quite funny now to see that enhanced news service is one that has at least one fully formed local news story. I think that tells you all you need to know about how much emphasis there's going to be on local news.
I mean, we're complaining about it, but what could anybody actually do? Because Ofcom has made these decisions. When the legislation happens, it will kind of reinforce that. So, as you say, it's a one-way street and there's no turning back.
No, absolutely not. No,
there's no point in us complaining then, really.
Well, no, there isn't. No, there isn't. I mean, what you see is the result of this endless lobbying that effectively says, you know, don't worry, we'll look after it, because if we're not providing what people want to listen to, then they won't listen to us and we'll go out of business. So you can leave everything to us, which is an argument used in lots of different industries, and it's a bit iffy, to say the least.
I think when you were on with Trevor a couple of years ago, you said the local DJ will soon become an endangered species. That's looking ever more likely with the consolidation that we've seen, but presumably Ofcom isn't bothered about that.
Go on, I'm quite a prophet, aren't I? I'm good.
We'll come back to this one in 2 years and see what you said today was correct.
Yeah. No. I think that is right. No, it's not. It's not for Ofcom to worry about the existence of local DJs. No, absolutely not.
But do you think the government will be bothered that it's an industry where people are losing jobs if we're going to see a lot of redundancies as a result of more program sharing?
I don't think so, because I don't think in the great scheme of things, you know, I mean, the numbers will be horrific for families and people. But, you know, in industry numbers, it's not phenomenal. And whilst they have moved, looking at the number of redundancies in local newspapers, of course, the government have moved and said, you know, well, where are people going to get news from? I think that's more a sort of self-serving thing, because they, you know, they're wondering where government press releases are going to finish up. You know, if there is absolutely no local newspapers at all. So I think it would be ironic if the government had to step in and stop something that they've allowed over the years. So that is quite bizarre.
Martin, as far as the DJs are concerned, we're quite used to having 17 hours a day from London on commercial radio. We're expecting news from Global, certainly, of a national breakfast show any day now one of the networks. Do you think that will work? Do you think people will tune out because it's not from up the road at breakfast time?
I think we're sort of past that stage of saying, well, you know, if it's not up, if it doesn't come from up the road, then I'm not going to listen to it. I think it's gone wider than that. But what I want to know is, why would people want to listen to it at all? Because the thing is that whilst there is this sort of resurgence in speech, which I find quite interesting, music doesn't unite young people, and they're the ones that are going to spend on the people who advertise. I think that's all quite wrong, because I think actually the whole commercial selling has been a bit skewed. It's all about the young, and music doesn't unite young people at breakfast, since its availability changed anymore. So, you know, I'm wondering what the delivery is, what the battleground is for this, because, you know, we've gone past, you know, the days of a Terry Wogan, you know, uniting a great slab of the country because people like to listen to him. You know, listening has changed so much since then. So I don't know what they're going to offer, really.
And as somebody who was on the inside, here's a question for you. Do we need Ofcom anymore? Is there any point? I can't remember the last time they said no to something that a station asked for.
Not for radio, I don't think, really. I think you probably need a regulator for taste and decency, or harm and offence, as they call it now, maybe. But, you know, I mean, harm and offence is an industry on its own, isn't it, these days? No, I don't think so. I mean, what Ofcom do tend to do, and I've always found this a little bit strange, is that, you know, we're sort of agreeing that local broadcasting and local breakfast shows are, you know, too expensive to do properly. So they're being left to the stations that haven't got any money at all, which is the community stations. And the community stations have a lot more regulation to put up with than the commercial stations. And it all seems a bit upside down and topsy-turvy to me. I've never quite understood that.
Yeah, and they're being allowed extra power, increase their areas and the coverage that they're getting. But as you say, the content and their key commitments are still quite tightly regulated. So I guess they need to see what commercial radio has got out of Ofcom and be a bit more powerful as a group to come to the regulator and say, well, we want some of this, please.
Well, they have. And I know people who... Sorry, I don't wish to patronise community radio, but I know people in the business who sort of feel very sorry for community radio and have tried to unite them to get a voice to bang on Ofcom's door and say, look, this is getting a little bit ridiculous now, because, you know, the money is talking and we haven't got any money. But it's never happened. I don't know whether it's not possible to bring them all together for one voice? I suppose it would be a bit like juggling with soot, I suppose.
I think the last time we had you on as well, the BBC was about to take over, Ofcom was about to take over responsibility for the BBC from the BBC Trust.
Yes, that's gone awfully well. Yeah.
How do you think it's gone? And should Ofcom now be looking at the service licences for those radio stations? You talked about the University of Kent report saying that Five Live's not meeting its news and current affairs requirements in their view. So should Ofcom, once they've got this commercial radio stuff out of the way, redraw some of the service licences for BBC Radio?
Yes, I think they should. I mean, I've never been particularly enamoured of the wording of the service licences. I know when they were first brought out, I kicked up quite a lot because there were so many phrases that just didn't smack of regulation, like strive to and, you know, hope to and all this sort of nonsense. But now they've allowed the commercial radio industry to effectively divest themselves of all sensible regulation. You have to look closely at the BBC and commercial together in the round to make sure that you are delivering. And the only point of having any regulation is to make sure that people are well served all round. And I don't think they are. I think it's a great section of people who are not particularly well served in radio. So, you know, I think Ofcom do need to be quite stern with the BBC, whether it's Radio 2 or 5 Live or 4, and actually be a regulator to stand up and be counted and shake the BBC about a bit, because I worry that it's not happening.
So, back at commercial radio, what do you think is next? We've just had a massive couple of weeks with Bauer making a few purchases. More consolidation still to come, do you think?
Is there any left? I mean, there's there's UKRD and Nation, isn't there? But I mean, it's interesting that it's fallen effectively now into two camps. I didn't see the wireless thing coming at all. I mean, I keep my ear reasonably close to the ground. I don't listen to a lot of commercial radio these days. It's a funny phrase I hear quite a lot. But getting hold of, what did they buy? Wireless? Celador and Lynx, didn't they?
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, that makes a hell of a group, doesn't it? I mean, it's not quite as big as Global now, is it? But virtually there. And there we are, left with sort of wireless on the national scale. But everyone now is a national broadcaster. But that's the way, obviously, that it goes with the internet and DAB and so on. Everyone is a national broadcaster, aren't they?
Well, it would appear so, because you can get anything anywhere. While we've got you on as well, of course, you were the managing editor at Talk Radio back in its original guise. Speech radio having even more of a resurgence. We talked about LBC earlier. And News UK now on the scene, obviously running Talk Radio.
Yes.
What do you think of Mr. Murdoch's involvement in the UK radio scene?
Yeah, it's a bit sort of backseaty, isn't it? It's strange. As soon as the word Murdoch crops up, you know, everyone gets very worried. I mean, I think what they're doing on Talk is very good. I don't know whether there's anything in this changing from Talk Radio to Talk News. Was that mooted
that was
by
Chris Evans' rumour? Yes.
Right, yeah, that is interesting, because I think that is a good that is a good battlefield, and I think LBC are doing well there. I don't know. I mean, Murdoch's always sort of been around, you know, with the days of Kelvin and so on at Talk. He's always hung around. I don't think it's a. Are you suggesting I should say it's a malign influence?
No, not at all. I think it's been a good thing. We've seen a lot of investment, and certainly what they've spent on Chris Evans and what they've done with Virgin and Talk, bringing in people like Eamon Holmes and Jeremy Kyle and Matthew Wright. You know, they're spending money, which traditionally
Absolutely.
A lot of commercial radio
yeah.
hasn't done.
Yeah, yeah, no, I very much so. Yeah, as indeed have LBC. So yeah, that, from that point of view, it is good. But as I say, I hack back. You know, it is clear what the battleground is there, and you know, sooner or later there will be a winner. But as for the rest, I think it's just sort of fragmenting into, you know, into not very much, really.
Yeah, a prophecy from Martin from 2 years ago. You said, we'll finish up with some big groups and one or two local stations that the big group are not interested in.
Yeah.
So you're about right there.
Yeah.
We will revisit what you've said in 2 years' time and see if any of it has come
kind.
True. But thank you for coming on. It's good to catch up with you as well, Martin.
You're welcome. Thank you very much, both of you.
Thank you, Martin.
Visual Radio Smarter and Cheaper. Virtual Director from Broadcast Bionics combines your social media, messaging, photos, audio and videos with intelligent camera control and automated graphics. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
Yes, it is the Radio Today programme. Thank you to Martin Campbell. Roy still here with us to look at the other big news of the week. And more Bauer news. They've been hiring left, right and centre.
Yeah, more management for Bauer. You know, normally I'd say that's a bad thing, but considering they've doubled the amount of radio stations they now own and operate, I think they need as many people, as many hands on deck as they can. So I suspect we'll see quite a few more appointments in the near future.
So Richard Dawkins, not that one, he's coming to be Chief Operating Officer for all radio in Europe for Bauer. So he presumably will report to Paul Keenan, but he is above Dee Ford in the structure. I'm just trying to picture it in my mind in all these layers of management.
I've lost count. I don't know. They're all doing a very good job, I'm sure.
So he's coming from the BBC, so plenty of experience as well as Richard. So he will be starting soon. They've announced some more presenters for Scala Radio this week. Anthea Turner is going to be on a Sunday morning with Chris Rogers on Sunday Brunch. That's Chris Rogers, the newsreader, not Chris Rogers, the jazz musician, as you might have seen on my Twitter this week. And Pat Sharp, whoop, whoop. Pat Sharp's got all the greatest hits, joining Greatest Hits from this weekend.
Yeah, that's exciting. I wonder if he's going to get his jingle re-sung to Greatest Hits. You never know.
This is the main question we have. And Mark Goodyear are going to be doing a chart show. Now That's What I Call a Chart Show from the 3rd of March on Greatest Hits. So they're kind of building up the lineup now for Greatest Hits, presumably before they then start rolling it out on some of these stations they've bought.
Yeah, it does remind me when I was back at when I was at Smooth Radio back in the day. You know, we hired Pat Sharp and all the and Mark Goodyear was obviously on there, so it's reminding me a little bit of how Smooth FM was born back in 2004 and how it developed into Smooth Radio. So yeah, I expect more of the same. And yeah, the big question is, will it go out across the country on FM on some of the new stations that they've bought? I think we'll find out at some point very soon.
And another Bauer signing to mention is Laura Busson, a.k.a. Laura Sayers, used to be on Radio 1 with Scott Mills. She's been programme controller at Heart Yorkshire with Communicore for the last few years, and she's off to oversee the breakfast show on Hits Radio as the senior executive producer.
Yeah, well done. A new role. I wonder who was looking after the show until now, then, if this is a brand new role. But yeah, onwards and upwards for that programme.
Talking of Radio 1 stunts, because Laura, you might remember from Laura's Diary, which was very popular on Radio 1 with Scott Mills on Drive Time. Radio 1 this week did another kind of hide-and-seek type thing, but they took Greg away and locked him in a room and he had to try and get out. And he got out eventually with some random clues.
This was fantastic. I mean, he was only there for 30 hours or so, and I thought this was going to drag on all week. Or maybe he would get out just before the Brits so he could go to the Brits on Wednesday night. But one of my favourite movies is The Truman Show. So anything that lets you observe something happening and get totally hooked in it is definitely a winner in my opinion. And it feels like Radio 1 is really winning at doing this kind of thing. Like commercial radio used to. Do you remember the dry ice competition at BR&B? And Four Strangers and a Wedding and that sort of thing.
Yeah, Hands on the Car and the Renegade, Real Radio Renegade, all that kind of thing.
Massive promotions in the local areas. Do you think commercial radio should start doing it again? Is commercial radio bothered about this sort of thing, or are they just interested in playing the hits?
I'm not sure they're bothered anymore, to be honest.
Well, Radio 1 certainly is, and it's doing it very well. So 3-0 to Radio 1 at the moment.
3-0. Okay. Let's hope there's no more own goals from commercial radio then. Hey, we've got some breaking news as we record the podcast about podcasts.
Podcasts, of course, is, some would say, the new radio, or just pre-recorded radio. But we've had news in of a new event called Podcast Live, which is a new venture the first of its kind. It's an event. It's going to take podcasters into venues across the country to host interactive versions of their own shows in front of a live audience. So if you do a podcast and you have a lot of interaction on your listeners on email and things like that, and you want to go and host your podcast at an event with lots of other podcasts of a similar nature, then this is the event that will do it for you, podcastlive.com. And it's set up by Phil Riley, Matt Deegan, John Myers is involved as well, and one or two others. And the first one is coming up on the 7th of April. If you'd like to find out more, radiotoday.co.uk or their website, which is podcastlive.com.
Yeah, so that first one on the 7th of April, they got a load of political podcasts together for the day. So there's Ian Dale and Jackie Smith's LBC For The Many podcast. There's the Times Red Box podcast, Romaniacs, a few others. So the idea is all day long there will be podcasts live on stage, and you can pay £15 to go and see one of them, or £40 to get a day pass for the whole day. So, yeah, it looks like an interesting business idea.
An interesting one indeed. And well timed as well, week after Brexit almost. Well, just after a week after Brexit, this one's going to be taking place. So, yeah, expect it to be popular.
And I want to mention a couple of podcasts actually that I've been listening to recently that are worth a bit of a plug. The Russ and Jono Rebooted podcast. Have you tried that yet? It's very good. It's very funny.
I haven't, but I will. It's
yes,
on my list.
Check it out. They do talk about some of the things they used to do on their old Virgin Radio breakfast experience back in the day, but they just have some silly fun as well. It's definitely worth listening. I think Jono is in Australia recording it down the line from Russ. But yeah, it's very good. Very good. And they do some of their silly characters that they used to do on the show. So check that out.
So it's a podcast with two guys in totally different locations. That'll never work. That never works out, does it?
No. Well, the technology is holding up today.
How is Yorkshire? Is it okay?
It's rainy. It's cloudy and rainy. Oh. How's half term?
Sunny.
Well, yeah, a slight diversion, but people on the radio this week, can you stop going on about it being half term? Because my children are on half term next week.
Yeah, it's awkward when that happens, isn't it? It's like having a bank holiday in Scotland for a national station. It's very annoying.
Or people on the last Friday of the month going on about payday. I get paid on the 15th, all right?
Lucky you, I don't get paid.
Well, that's annoying for me. And a couple of other podcasts I mentioned. The In Radio podcast, the new one that's just out with Dom Chambers, is very, very good. He's gone on a tour of community radio stations over the last few months, and he's kind of telling stories from around community radio in the UK. It's our sister podcast, In Radio, with Dom Chambers. Check that out. It's very good. And the latest Conversations episode with David Lloyd, talking to Tommy Boyd. If you've not heard this yet, one of David's best ones yet. He's done about 70, 80 of these podcasts now, an hour long, talking to somebody from the radio industry about their life in radio. And we thought we'd play a little clip of Tommy Boyd. This is him telling the story of a caller coming on the show on TalkSport, I think it was, on the night the Queen Mother had died.
And I was busy checking my emails, and a caller came on and said I would like to pay tribute to Her Majesty. So I thought, oh, this is safe as houses. So I switched off and I started going through my emails, and then I became aware that the voice had changed in its timbre. And I thought, he said something he shouldn't have done, but I didn't know what it was. So I said something like, I cut you off. I didn't exactly catch what you said, but I'm sure I don't agree with it, but I suppose you have the right to say what you say. And I got a phone call about a week later from Bill Ridley. Bill has a sacking voice. He's normally very avuncular, but when he's sacking you, it sounds like this. We have located the audio in question. A caller said that the royal family should be put up against a wall and shot. Your response was that he was entitled to that view. I'm afraid we're going to have to let you go.
So that's Tommy Boyd on his sacking. And he's just a great storyteller. Lots of stories like that from his time in TV and in radio. It's definitely worth listening to. Very, very good. Oh, and something I spotted in the Radio Times, you might want to listen to Knowing Steve, Knowing You, special on Radio 4 Extra this Saturday morning, 9 till 12, 3 hours. There's an interview with Steve Coogan and all sorts of old clips from Partridge. And it's going out on Radio 4 Extra this Saturday morning, ahead of the new BBC One show on Monday, this time with Alan Partridge, which we're very excited about.
I was going to ask you when it's on. What time is it on Monday?
I think it's 9:30 BBC One on Monday night. Alan returns to the BBC.
Oh, that's a shame. That's right in the middle of The Walking Dead, so I won't be able to watch it. I'm sure there's some kind of catch-up service.
Are you still in 1994? Is that what's going on here?
Maybe I'll put the video recorder on and tape it.
Excellent. Right, well, there's all sorts coming up. The podcast awards are now open for entries. They're happening in May. The Young Arias are open as well. The IRN awards will be handed out very soon. And then we get into event season with Radio Days Europe at the end of March, the Radio Festival back in May as well. So it's all going to start getting busy. And hopefully there might be some more big radio news just to keep us busy as well. You never know.
Getting busy. I've not sat down yet this year.
Right, we'll have another good week in radio. We'll talk to you next week. We've got hopefully some talent on next week. No offence, Roy, we've got a bid in for a big money star. So we'll see how that goes.
Really?
Yeah. Ooh, if it's just me and you, good. You know that hasn't happened. So.
Yeah. All right. Speak to you on the next one.
Thank you, Roy. Just a quick word about Clean Feed before James Cridland is on. If you've not tried Clean Feed yet, it's definitely worth a go. It's a great way to get a guest onto your show in great quality, or get them on your podcast, or maybe co-host your show from somewhere different to normal, just using a laptop and sounding like you're in the same room. Clean Feed's been designed for radio people and for podcasters, and it's really, really simple to use, and you get great quality audio all over the internet, and you can even record within the browser as well. Clean Feed won't cost you anything to get started. It'll take you 30 seconds to sign up, and within minutes you'll be doing your first live interview or recording for your podcast. You can find out more at cleanfeed.net.
I'm James Cridland, the radio futurologist.
GEICO has been offering savings for over 75 years.
If you've not yet discovered it, Magellan is an interesting company. It monitors the top 2,000 podcasts in the US Apple Podcasts trending chart, and it produces ad reports. I've found the differences between podcast advertising and radio advertising really quite stark. And when I last looked at these charts in detail in November, it was very obvious that US radio's biggest advertisers were nowhere to be seen on podcasting. For whatever reason, podcasting has appeared to attract a different type of advertiser. US radio, of course, attracts $15.9 billion of annual advertising revenue, while podcasting attracts a rather more disappointing $314 million. It's forecast to grow quite a bit in the next few years, but as a wise man said, double nothing is still nothing. Well, the new figures for January still show ZipRecruiter at number one in podcasting. Squarespace, a website company, is also in the list, as are all the typical podcast advertisers. There's an electric toothbrush in the list, a mattress company, a website that lets you buy your stamps at home. But new in this month's top five is an advertiser familiar to US radio listeners.
Well, you should definitely see how GEICO could help you save on homeowners insurance.
While the company's Gobby Gecko, speaking in a British accent to make him more unexpected, hasn't yet made it to podcasting, the company itself has. GEICO, a US insurance company, was US radio's number one advertiser in 2017 and number two in 2018, beaten by the Home Depot. And now GEICO are the number two podcast advertiser as well. The benefits of audio advertising are well known, and those benefits work well on radio, but also work well for podcasting too. It's probably no accident that GEICO is now one of the largest advertisers in podcasting as well, a medium that, like radio, is highly habitual. Podcasting is now attracting one of radio's biggest advertisers. Should we worry that the Gecko is cheating on us? You can get my weekly newsletter at james.crid.land and daily podcast news at podnews.net. And until next time, keep listening. And now on the Radio Today podcast, here's David Lloyd.
It's 45 years this week since the first English commercial radio station outside London arrived.
Our present tests include music from 5 o'clock in the morning until midnight every day. On VHF, this can be heard in stereo, and most of BRMB Radio's music programmes will be in full stereo.
It's 6 o'clock. Good morning. This is Brian Shepherd with BRMB Sound News. The weather? The morning will be cloudy but dry. Sunny intervals are expected later. Winds will be light and mainly easterly. It's 6 degrees at Aston in Birmingham. The time is now almost 5 minutes past 6. Brian Shepherd, BRMB Sound News.
Good morning, my name's Kevin Morrison and I'm pleased to be one of the first to welcome you to BRMB, the new independent radio station in Birmingham. Well, I'm going to be here every morning from now on, helping you to start your day the BRMB way. And I hope you're going to make it a habit, because, as our theme will tell you, it's the sound way to spend your day.
The initial radio stations were very successful, but some of the subsequent stations were not successful. And I think that was largely due to the fact that they had lost the sort of idea of localness. Possibly they hadn't invested enough. They felt that it was just enough to play pop music, and it wasn't, you know, because there were other forms of pop music available to the public, not the least of which, of course, increasingly became people listening to cassettes nowadays, listening to a CD.
Okay, let's get this baby on the road. It's 2:05. Ed Doolan here from 2 through to 3.
The birth of BRMB this week in 1974, and you heard there from the first programme director, John Russell. Back then, of course, programming was varied, wasn't it? Including those essential food prices.
Due to the weather, you may find carrots and parsnips a bit rubbery, so choose carefully and buy in small quantities. And the same goes for potatoes. Oh dear. You may find it cheaper to pick on your own.
This week in 1975 saw a new leader for the Conservative Party, and she chose Radio 2's JY Show for her first interview.
It's just a week now since the political world was shaken up with the news that a woman was to lead one of Britain's major political parties. Mrs. Margaret Thatcher emerged triumphant from the second ballot for the leadership of the Conservatives after 2 weeks of battling with the then leader, Mr. Heath, and of course other prominent elder statesmen. Well, since then, Mrs. Thatcher has had little to say in public, choosing instead to turn her mind to future policies and picking her shadow cabinet, which indeed she announced last night. However, today she's with me in the studio preparing to talk about the victory and indeed about the future that we can expect from the new style Conservative Party. First of all, nice to have you back again, Margaret.
It's very nice to be back. I thoroughly enjoy these programmes and look forward to being on them frequently.
Good.
Good. Yeah, just imagine Twitter now if Jeremy Vine said that.
BBC bias.
Mind you, it was a busy show.
Oh, incidentally, before I do ask you the next listener's question, Margaret, perhaps I could just say our switchboard is going a little bit raving mad downstairs, so if listeners could perhaps lay off just a little bit for the next 10 or 15 minutes or so, that would help our telephone.
It's rather nice. So many people are interested. They're phoning in. I think that's a great compliment. Thank you very much.
And there was one telling moment, too, which I think will strike a chord if you're currently doing your compulsory BBC training course on unconscious bias. Listen to this.
Mrs. Bentinck, although I would have thought this is Mr. Bentinck, but anyway, from St. Merrin in Cornwall, says, as an out-of-work stockbroker, I'm obviously interested in the financial state of the country, and I would like to ask Mrs. Thatcher if there's any logic...
And of course you know what comes next.
I have an apology to make, you know. I've been a male chauvinistic pig, haven't I? Mrs. Bentinck, phoned in from St. Merrin in Cornwall, you see, says, as an out-of-work stockbroker, and I thought our lady's upstairs... It's true to say, Mrs. Bentinck, I thought our lady's upstairs had already mistyped it, you see. So I said, I expect that's Mr. Bentinck. And we've had an irate Mrs. Bentinck on the phone saying, why shouldn't I be a lady stockbroker? And quite right, madam, there is no reason at all why you shouldn't be a lady stockbroker.
JY with Mrs. T on R2 this week, 44 years ago. That same week that year, she would have been puzzled had she tuned to Capital Radio on the way home in the car. It had moved frequency.
You may like to know that Capital Radio, medium wave service, is now available only on the new wavelength, 194 metres. That's 1,546 kilohertz. The VHF service remains on 95.8 megahertz. This is the Engineering Information Service of the Independent Broadcasting Authority.
Back then, of course, the majority of listening was on AM. Capital moving from its temporary 539 wavelength to 194 this week in 75.
This is Capital Radio.
As Simon Mayo prepares for Scala, let's remember it was this week, 18 years ago, that he hosted his final Radio 1 programme.
Is that you? 8 minutes past nine, House of Pain jump around the third best record from this particular year, and West End and Sybil number 3.
The Mystery Is, with Simon Mayo on Radio 1.
08700 100 100. A couple more years of mystery for you. Don't forget, we are after your email nominations for your favourite year of mystery. So when we wipe the whole thing up on February the 16th, we will finish it with your favourite year and your favourite song from that year and why. That'd be nice. Thank you. At any time.
Simon Mayo on Mid-Mornings at Radio 1 until this week in 2001. He said at the end, one of the reasons I'm not going to do a DLT is that I've nothing to complain about at all. Although, as I'll still be employed by the BBC, it would be a stupid thing to do. His final track was by Motorhead. Another Radio 1 farewell this week, 6 years ago.
OK, so I've got to just say a few thank yous. Because since I've worked at Radio 1, I've been lucky to work with just some incredible producers. They're in a bit of a jumble, to be honest. So they range from, like, execs to, like, someone who's made me a brew to producers that I work with for years. Joss! Yeah, put her on. She's in Live Lounge. I better include her now. So I'm just going to... And some of them were at my wedding, mine and Ben's wedding, you know, a few months ago, so they're still amazing friends. So I've got to say thank you to Megan Carver and to Sarah, a.k.a. Sazzle Off of Breakfast, who's just had a baby girl. Yeah, Delphine, a few months ago. Anna Richards, who's still
Bolton's
one of my best
Sarah friends, Cox, leaving Radio 1 this week in 2017. So with the launch of KFM in Stockport 29 years ago...
You are about to witness the beginning of a new era in radio.
The death of Steve Hewlett 2 years ago.
I hope this doesn't sound sort of vainglorious, I hope that my experience will help other people talk about some of these things.
Alistair Cook's final letter from America on Radio 4 15 years ago.
Propped up there against my usual three pillows.
Mark Goodyear trying out the top 40 for size 31 years ago.
And there's no change at the top. Kylie Minogue gets a second week with I Should Be So Lucky.
That famous fader left open at Jazz FM 7 years ago.
Yeah. Oh.
And the end of the pirate Britain Radio 52 years ago.
Britain Radio.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thanks this week to Roy Martin, James Cridland, and David Lloyd, and our guest Martin Campbell, and to you for listening. We'll see you next time.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.